Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You think Ben Shapiro could do that?
One thing that movements like that do is they like to demonize an out-group, and they've chosen trans people, and that's pretty much it.
This one's a keeper.
This is why TikTok's good.
You can have the last word on anything.
No, that's what it's going to be. I mean, it's your show.
You know what? No, pump the brakes. Let's wind it back. Adam, which religion is right? Hey there, my name is Damien Haas. You may know me from the YouTube channel Smosh, or voice acting roles in shows like My Happy Marriage, or Delicious in Dungeon, or games like Fire Emblem. I'm joined today by Adam Conover, who you may know from the show Adam Ruins Everything, his own YouTube channel, or his work with the Writers Guild. Adam, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here in this purple basement.
Please bleep the word purple. That's too specific, and we don't want people to know where it is. Adam, we're going to be throwing some assumptions your way today that we've gathered from our audience. Maybe some of them will be right. Maybe people are dead wrong.
These are things that people think about me, that they assume about me?
They do assume. And when you assume,
you make a
damn good show in a basement.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. All right. We're
locked in.
I'm off balance, so it's a good place to start. Let's get going.
Good. I'm going to be hitting you with nothing but hardball after hardball. I was first introduced to you from your show, Adam Ruins Everything, where there's a lot of energy, a lot of quick information.
Napoleon wasn't short. Touching baby birds doesn't make their mothers reject them. George Washington didn't have wooden teeth.
Do people assume that your sort of persona or energy level on that is just the real Adam?
Yeah, I mean, people think that the version of myself that I played on the show is actually me, to the extent that a lot of people like miss the joke of the character. Like,
sure.
The character is a heightened version of really myself as a child, right? As a kid, I used to read things, and I would, you know, I was full of facts, and someone would say something, I'd be like, oh no, actually, blah, blah, blah. And people would yell at me for doing that, because doing that's annoying, right? So as a comedy character, I created a version of myself who does that all the time, right?
Got it.
Dozens of times per episode, I go, actually, blah, 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 blah. And someone goes, shut up. And oh, sorry. What's frustrating is that people seem to believe that they seem to miss the joke, right?
Yeah.
Because people will say on the internet, oh, Adam Conover, that guy's so annoying. He's like, he's always saying actually. He's like a human, actually guy. Oh, he's like a Reddit personified. That's like a thing people say. And so I hate him. I hate him. And like, well, that's true of the character.
Right.
The comedy character. That's the joke of the character. That's not me in real life. We're playing it for humor. It's like saying, that's Steve Urkel. I hate him. He's a nerd.
And little do they know, he voiced Sonic the Hedgehog at one point, which is as cool as it gets.
Steve Urkel voiced Sonic the Hedgehog?
Jaleel White, he sure did. I'm going to sort of maybe steal the idea of making the character Damien Haas, so if I am ever annoying, it was a bit.
In real life, I'm only 60% that irritating.
Okay. You're well known for speaking up about trans rights and things like the debate around puberty blockers. The debate itself, do you believe it is a distraction?
Look, I believe that we've got a nakedly fascist movement, like, taking power in America. One thing that movements like that do is they like to demonize an out-group, and they've chosen trans people, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all that's happened, you know? I think that's really, really sad and unfortunate. It's really frightening for, you know, my trans friends, for people who I really care about. And it seems like a pretty basic responsibility on my part to speak up for those folks. You turn on the news and people are talking about it all day long. You have these Democratic operatives going, oh, we went too hard on the trans thing and like trans people, America's not ready. And it's like, they don't put a single trans person on screen to just be like, I'm trying to poop. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about. Like, literally, I talk to my three friends and they're like, where do I go to the bathroom? You know what I mean? Like, just, hey, you're not going to be happy if I go in this door. You're not going to be happy if I go in this door. So like, can we just come up with a fucking solution to move on?
You know who can help you if you're having a hard time deciding on an outfit? Stitch Fix. I hate going to the store to shop for clothes. I'll be real with you. I used to work retail and it brings back bad memories. The things I want are never in stock and dealing with crowds is frustrating to say the least. It feels like the lines get longer and longer every day. And don't get me started on fitting rooms. Seriously. But I found a better way. Stitch Fix Online Personal Styling. Unfortunately, as a human in real life, I can't get away with wearing the same black tee every day. Before Stitch Fix, putting together an outfit felt so overwhelming. Should my shirt be cropped? Can I pull off baggy jeans? Should I crop my tee? Really, should I? Is purple secretly my color? That's why I love having a Stitch Fix stylist. They just get me. I give them my size, my style, and budget preferences, and they send just for me pieces, plus outfit recommendations and styling tips. I order boxes when I want and how I want, no subscription required. I keep what works and send back the rest. No more stores, no more stress, just personalized looks you'll love. Make style easy. Get started today at stitchfix.com/assumptions. That's stitchfix.com/assumptions. We got one assumption here that you get really mad when John Oliver covers something immediately after you.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, we have also done stories after he's done them. There's like enough room when something is bad in the world for two different people to talk about it.
Sure.
I did hear, when we were writing Adam Ruins Everything, there were times where we would go, oh, we shouldn't do that. He just did it last year.
Interesting.
Like, just recently he did it. Like, we wanted to do one about the NCAA paying people. Actually, there's two reasons we didn't do that. The first reason was John Oliver. The second reason was our show aired on True TV. Do you know what True TV airs every March?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Is March Madness. It's actually the only time that network was in the black. And so the only time they ever told us we couldn't do a topic was when we were going to do one about the NCAA not paying athletes.
We have to keep the lights on.
And I was like, I will back off this topic when the president of the network calls me and tells me I can't do it. And the president of the network called me and told me I couldn't do it.
That's a power move.
And I said, that's fine. We'll do something else. But then you better believe I cashed that in later to do some other shit that they didn't want us to do.
Am I allowed to ask what that was?
Yeah, we did a segment about how they told me I couldn't do the NCAA story. That's literally in our series finale. We did a segment where like I'm talking to the head of the network and I'm saying, I want to do a story about the NCAA. And he says, you can't do that. So
that's like the ultimate malicious compliance in a way.
Yeah, it was like a year and a half later. So things had cooled off a little bit. The other problem with that topic was that John Oliver had just done it quite well. And we were like, what new do we have to say about it? But then I heard that they on their show would have the same reaction to us. Oh, Adam Ruins Everything already did this topic.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's like a little healthy, not even rivalry, just, you know, mutual respect there.
Well, speaking of John Oliver's team, you do so many different things. There is an assumption that someone could not do what you are doing in the capacity that you do it without a team behind them. Do you think that's true?
Oh, yeah. I have always been like somebody who works with other people collaboratively, you know. It's, I think almost anybody who's at the top of something, who's the face of something, needs to have a team of people behind them. I actually think a problem that a lot of people on YouTube have is that they never do that, and they do everything all by themselves, which is like can be fine as a model, but can also like really limit what you're able to put out.
Adam, we have a lot of YouTubers and content creators in general here that struggle with burnout, both that we are interviewing and sometimes the interviewer is struggling with burnout as
we
speak.
Are you doing okay?
I'm very tired.
What's been going on with you the last couple days? You're going to get a international flight tomorrow?
It all starts with my father, I think, Adam. But do you have any advice for some YouTubers out there or creators in general that are feeling like they are burnt out? And, you know, do you struggle with that yourself? How do you deal with it?
I mean, I do struggle with burnout because I have a sickness where if there's something that could be done that I think should be done, that would work if it were to be done, I feel it's mandatory that I, in fact, do it. And so I start too many projects, you know, and I have too many balls in the air. And, you know, the entertainment industry right now is in a really precarious time, so I sort of feel the need to be entrepreneurial and do as many different things as I can. The thing that I think more people on YouTube should focus on is building a machine made up of other people that will output the kind of thing that you want it to output. I have some freelancers who I work with, a wonderful woman named Andra, a wonderful man named Sam, a wonderful man named Tony, some other folks as well, right? And we have a pitch meeting on Monday mornings. We get together and we say, hey, what do we want to make a video about this week? And then we talk it out. We beat it out. Like, okay, is this funny? Let's toss some ideas around, you know? Sam goes off and does some research, makes a Google Doc. Then we have a later meeting where we look at it. We do an outline meeting, you know? And then Andra writes the first draft of the script. I give some notes. She does another draft. I revise it, you know? Wow. And then Tony sets up the shoot. He schedules everything and he handles the post, right? But there's certain things that take me more time than other people, right? If you find what your weak points are or your deficits and have the help of others, which, you know, that's how the world works, right? Everyone's good at different things. There's 100 different people on set. Each person is doing a single job, and they are doing it so well, and the other people on set could not even imagine doing that job.
Sure.
When I look, sometimes I'll be on set, and I'm just like looking around, and there's a microphone above my head, and I'm looking over there, and there's, you know, Danny, our boom op was named Danny, guy holding it like this. He holds this mic for literally like 8 hours a day in this position. He wears headphones and he just listens to make sure it sounds good and to make sure that there's no other sound, right? That's the man's whole job. Now, could you imagine doing that? I could not imagine doing that for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I would okay?
And shout out to our sound person.
Shout out to Lila, who you look so happy. I would.
I love my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about.
So Adam, speaking of multiple hats, you are definitely a multi-hyphenate. You are a political activist, a commentator, a YouTuber, an actor, a voice actor, among many other things. Is there any one part of you that you resonate with more than the others?
Yeah, I'm a comic. You know, I'm a stand-up comic. That's what I wanted to do when I got into entertainment. It's still my favorite thing to do. I'm really proud that in addition to everything else that I do, YouTube, podcast, you know, TV work, blah, 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 I have gotten to a point in my career where I could make a living just touring as a comic.
Oh, awesome.
Like all those other things, help people buy tickets, definitely, because I promote the shows.
Sure.
So it all goes together. That was like a real accomplishment to me because that's like the one thing that I wanted to do.
Yes, congratulations.
To be a comic. When I'm getting a little far away from myself in the podcast work or something like that. I'm not quite being funny enough. I'm not quite being silly enough. You know, I care about things a lot. I'm definitely more serious than most comedians, but I really try to be a comic first.
I love that. Speaking of being a comedian, there is an assumption, not just by some comments, but I think in general right now, is that you can't be or it's incredibly difficult to be a quote-unquote woke comedian.
I'd like to go back to the original usage of woke as it first entered the public consciousness. Like you can go back, it really goes back decades. But, you know, the original exhortation to stay woke, right, that came out of the social justice movement that started in 2020 after the murder of George Floyd, right, like that period. What was meant by the word woke? It's it's to say awake, right? Mm-hmm. To like be looking at the world around you,
right?
And to be understanding it on a deeper level, to not, you know, just believe what you're told, but to awaken from the dream of what you were told that America is,
right?
Right? That's what comedy's for,
right?
Is to sort of rip the veil away from here's what you thought you knew, and to say, hey, could the world be different? And there's two kinds of comedy. There's comedy that says, why do we have to do it that way? Like, isn't it kind of stupid that the world is that way? Right. Like, have you ever thought about why you do it that way? Does that make any sense? That's the kind of comedy I like. That's the kind of comedy I do. There's another kind of comedy where people say, why is everyone trying to change everything?
Yeah.
Like, why? Whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa. We're doing new stuff now? I liked it the old way, right?
Yeah.
Sebastian Maniscalco, very funny comic, right? Remember when people used to come over to your house, you know?
That's really good.
And you used to show up at the door, you'd be like, come in, come in. Oh, it was so nice back then, right? That's his act, yeah. You know? A comic like Bill Burr will go back and forth, right? Like
he sure does.
He'll be like, yeah. He'll be like, ah, what? Oh man, I'm a simple guy, right? And like, why are we gonna, And sometimes he's like,
are you out of your mind?
What is this?
What do you think you want?
Yeah. Right? And then sometimes he's like, why is it this way? Why? Yeah. Well, let's do something different, right? And he's got a different kind of act, right?
Yeah.
So those are two different directions comedy can go. I like the kind of comedy that opens your mind to new ideas, mm-hmm. new ways of thinking about the world. My opinion is that most people enjoy that kind of comedy. I think most people enjoy both, but I think most people enjoy the kind of comedy that I do.
Sure.
And those are the people that I'm trying to reach.
So TikTok, regarding the political aspect of it, is it a net good?
Is TikTok a net good for society? It's honestly very hard to say because it's almost impossible to even measure what people are seeing on TikTok. I've had the experience of being on TikTok and seeing a video I didn't like, and then I look at the comments and like every single person in the comments agrees with me.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, the comments are always right.
Right.
You know? Well, that's because TikTok is showing you the comments that you agree with, right?
Sure.
And they're showing you the video because it matches what everybody else wants to see, you know? Mm-hmm. And you better believe that there's people who believe the exact opposite of you who are seeing a video that confirms everything that they believe.
Yeah.
So what effect is that having on politics? It's really hard to say because we don't know what people are actually seeing. Is it tilting people one way or another? Can't really tell. TikTok still has the most fun algorithm, but I don't think that's going to last much longer. The reason I liked it initially was because TikTok had a little bit of that serendipity that you used to get from the early internet of like, oh, I saw something wondrous and amazing that I never thought I would see. But it sort of became less and less like that as time went on.
How many times have you gone up to someone and been like, oh, are you getting that trend? And they're like, I don't even know what year it is, like based on what you're talking about. And you're like, oh, shit. But like to everyone else in your algorithm, it's the most popular thing. Have you seen the Marcus VR chat stuff? Yes. No. Exactly.
Yes.
Nicole loves it. Adam has not seen it. This is Marcus by the campfire. You ready, Adam?
Sure.
I can't believe we're doing this today.
Oh, he's in the
fire.
Are
you in the fire? Don't do that. he's killing himself. He does this sometimes.
Help him. The pain.
I'm trying to. You have your arms. Can't you?
I'm in agony. Robert Malecki.
Rob, I don't know. Marcus, come here, please.
These are good. These people are having fun in VR chat, man.
Oh, yeah.
The only use case for VR.
Listen here, Robert. I know you might be skeptical.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This one's a keeper.
Yeah, see, this is a good one. This is why TikTok's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, TikTok's got stuff like this. Look, I'll tell you what I like about TikTok, okay?
Right.
There's this kid on TikTok. I first saw him like 5 years ago. His name is Big Fat David.
Oh, okay.
He's a kid. He lives in Fresno.
Okay.
He seems to live on like an almond orchard. And in his first video I ever saw, he was like, okay, you guys, today I'm digging a hole. And he just dug a big hole, and now I'm gonna put a fire in the hole. And then he set a fire in his hole that he dug in the dirt. Oh. And he was like, and tomorrow I'm making Denny's. Here's a picture of what I'm making. I'm making Denny's. He had a picture of the breakfast he's making.
He cooks Denny's?
So he calls breakfast Denny's.
I just wanted to make sure. I was like, yeah. I want to make sure he's not getting the ingredients from a Denny's.
No. He's making bacon and eggs and toast, okay. And he calls that, I'm making Denny's. He's got his 70,000 followers, and he's really proud of them, and he does cooking tutorial videos. And I'm just, you know, we're friends. He doesn't know me, but I know him. I know Big Fat David. And that's what I enjoyed about TikTok was you got an insight into people's weird little lives.
You do get a little less of that now.
Next
topic here. People still don't really grasp how harmful AI is or is about to become to writers and creative individuals.
I think that to a large extent, the industry that has grown up around it is one that is peddling a lot of bullshit to the public and is making a lot of wild claims about what it'll be able to do and how they'll monetize it in ways that are like not entirely clear. They're currently using those claims to get massive amounts of cash from, you know, venture capitalists, but also they're trying to get it from the government in order to build their systems. And it's sort of like unclear what they're actually for, right? A lot of my concerns are about the business model of the companies and the fact that, you know, they're lying to people, they're making wild claims, and they're sort of demanding that we do what they say based on sort of a science fiction formulation of where things are going. Now, that's not to say that there aren't a lot of risks, right? Mm-hmm. Setting aside the energy use and the water consumption and all those sorts of things, which are real, there are real people who hope to use AI in order to replace human writers in a way that is like inimical. That's really malignant. Sorry to use big words. I'm trying to train the AI to be smarter.
That's okay. I get them.
But I think what we need to recognize is that there's a version of the story that the industry tells where, hey, they're just going to replace us. And AI is going to replace you, and the world will be better because AI will be able to do it better and cheaper. Right. And so you just need to find some other work to do, right? And I don't believe that's the case. I think that when you remove humans from art specifically, the art gets worse because what people like in art is other humans. In fact, other humans is all there fucking is, mm-hmm. right? Like, apart from going on a walk in the woods and just enjoying the birds singing, every single thing you do in your life is about other people. Even when you're off, you're thinking about another human being. You know what I mean?
Except for one guy who's thinking about the birds in the woods. You can cut that if you'd like.
Sure.
Sorry.
Sure. But like, human society is about people, right? And so when you remove people from it, you end up with something that people like less. The other piece of it, though, is that it's not just do we like it better when it's a human or not. So much of the work of creativity, and again, of any human endeavor, inherently involves other people. Mm-hmm. So when ChatGPT came out, it came out right before the Writers Guild's last negotiation. Everybody said, oh, you're going to be replaced by AI. You're going to be replaced by AI. And we knew that the executives would also be looking at this going, oh, what if I cut the writers out? What if I don't need the writers so much, right? Here's the thing. To do that misunderstands the role of a writer. Mm. A writer is not simply something that outputs text onto a screen. The idea that you're going to take one of these people's jobs, right, and just have an AI do it is ludicrous, okay? So here is what we were actually worried about happening. We weren't worried about being replaced by AI. We were worried about an executive saying, hey, so ChatGPT wrote this great script, okay? Now we just need you to take our notes, talk to the actor, talk to the director, go to set, go to post. But you're not the writer. ChatGPT's the writer. You're just a fucking associate producer. Mm. You're a prompt engineer. You just fuck around with the AI, right? The AI is doing the work. Now, I would look at that and go, that person's still a f***ing writer. They're doing the job of a writer, but they've been like written out of the system, right?
Right.
Their job has been redefined. And so that is what we protected against. That's one of the reasons we went on strike, was to make sure that that couldn't happen in our contract. And we were successfully able to get those provisions, first provisions ever won by a labor union to protect against AI in
Amazing.
The country. Every job is like that,
sure.
You know? To the extent that these companies or the people running these companies are trying to replace people with AI, they will not just be making the product worse, they'll be making their entire business worse. They'll be
sure.
making everything worse, right?
Yeah.
That's why we need to fight against it.
Some people have argued that internet debate has ruined the idea of nuanced takes because there's so many voices all at once, it's a cacophony. How do you feel about that, especially when it comes to something very public-facing like Jubilee videos?
Yeah. I mean, look, debate is a theatrical performance. Mm. It's never been particularly interesting to me. People who enjoy it tend to be people who took, like, debate club in
sure.
school. So when I watch, like, your Ben Shapiro types doing the debate, I feel like I'm watching those kids do the cup stacking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, cool.
Neat. Yeah.
Neat trick.
You
yeah.
did it.
You think Ben Shapiro could do that?
Almost. Let's say, hypothetically, for instance, if I had a bunch of cups in front of me and I stacked them and I put them set, yeah.
That's very good.
Thank you. Hey, that's a bummer to, it's, you know, it's not one you throw out all the time.
You know, I think you learn a lot more from conversation than you do from debate.
Mm.
That's my personal opinion.
There's an assumption that people have that one should not rely on YouTube as a source for news. What do you do to remain, at least in your mind, a reliable source of information, if not news?
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, YouTube has just, like, replaced television, apart from high-end narrative scripted, which is, you know, what like, Netflix and Max and these other services are still doing.
This
but,
is
like,
the Game of Thrones of talk shows.
I would say so. But yeah, YouTube is, like, become, you know, it's the number one streaming service.
Yeah.
That's how people used to watch every other part of television, everything
sure.
other than high-end scripted, right? I'll turn on the TV, I'll turn on CNN, right? Or I'll turn on the late-night show, right, at 11 p.m., now people are doing that on YouTube, right? People are watching the same things. It's just all on YouTube now. And so when people say, I don't know if YouTube is a great place to find information, well...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Neither is anywhere else. Like, it's
sure.
it's the main, it's where we get the information now. So that's why I've like moved what I do there, because that's just TV at this point. In terms of myself being reliable, you know, on my current YouTube monologue series, we throw up, you know, citations of whenever I say a fact, you know, here's the citation, here's the headline, here's the source. Is that something that we've been doing since Adam Ruins Everything? On Adam Ruins Everything, we have little citations at the top of the screen
sure.
that came down every time I said something. You know, hopefully that gives people some reliability. But I also don't claim to, like, be a perfect source of information. You know, I'm putting together, here's what's happening in the news, here's my take, here's what I think about it, and then
yeah.
I do another one next week. And, you know, hopefully people find it of enough use and informative value over time that they want to keep coming back.
So, Adam, we got a comment that somebody assumed it's harder for you to work with sponsors or even just get work in general with having strong political views. Is that something you've dealt with?
No, not at all. I mean, there's certain gigs I probably would not get because people know I'm opinionated if
sure.
they want someone that's, like, totally down the middle. But people don't really want that anymore in their
mm-hmm.
entertainment. They don't want just someone who's a completely blank slate. You know,
yeah.
they want someone who has a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They just want that point of view to be honest and to be, you know, generally respectful while still being funny, right?
Sure.
So people know that I have a point of view, but they see me as, you know, someone who means what he says and someone who arrived there in good faith, right, and isn't, like, flying off the handle or being stupid, right? So I'm also doing my job as a comedian.
Sure.
And so that should make me more valuable, not less. It certainly should make me more valuable to anybody I'd actually want to fucking work with.
Right.
Right? So if anyone is so thin-skinned as to say, oh, this guy, you know, talked a little trash about, like, a CEO who is refusing to negotiate with their own workforce, I'd say, like, yeah, I fucking did. Do you want to make money with me? No? Okay, I'll go do it somewhere else because I don't need any of those particular people, right? Yeah. What I care about is what I talk about, and that's what my career is built on. That's why people watch what I do in the first place. Mm-hmm. So anybody who wants a piece of what I do is going to de facto be comfortable with that, and that's how I like it, right? And in fact, I've had, like, companies reach out and say, you know, like, tech companies actually want to work with me more because I'm a critic of the tech industry.
Interesting. Right?
And they know that, like, I know what I'm talking about. The audience finds me reliable, you know, and is interested in what I have to say. And that makes me a more sought after voice, yeah. Right? So, and then the advantage is I can sleep at night.
So a lot of your recent videos have been a little bit on the scary side, such as you are not safe or no one is coming to save you. Or it might give people the impression that you are feeling a little bit pessimistic or a pessimistic person. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I don't love that the only thing that determines your success on YouTube is the title and thumbnail.
Yeah.
I don't love that fact. That is, unfortunately, the world that we live in. People are sometimes like, that's a scary clickbait title. And I'm like, I do, in fact, need people to click.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, you know, the reason we choose those titles is because we're trying to speak to the emotion that people have right now.
Sure.
You know, and the video, You Are Not Safe, is about the fact that the Trump administration is specifically trying to scare almost everyone in America into thinking that, like, you could personally be sent to El Salvador, regardless of whether you're a citizen, regardless of whether you're here legally. They're trying to frighten people as a political tactic. And,
sure,
you know, we're trying to speak to that. Yeah, I mean, there are people who are trying to pull us in a truly, like, literally, overtly, you know, racist, fascist, authoritarian, hyper-capitalist direction. They're saying that they want to do it out loud, you know? And they have the keys to the car, and they're driving, and we're all stuck in the back seat, you know? So it's a scary time, and the main thing I'm trying to do is not sugarcoat that, you know?
Sure.
The flip side of that, though, is that there's a lot of doomerism out there, you know? I think that one of the worst things about our generation, I would say people my age and younger, have this strange belief that, like, the world is about to end.
Right.
You know? Oh, why bother? You know, climate change, everything else. Oh, it's the end of democracy. People have been saying this was the worst year ever for the past, like, over 10 years.
Sure.
Certainly and saying, hottest. Like, who knows if there's going to be another year, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's just, like, factually incorrect, you know? Mm. But the chances of you dying this year are relatively small. The likelihood is you are going to continue to live for many decades. There will be a world in the future that you will have to inhabit, right?
Sure.
Climate change is not going to end the world. It is going to change the world that you live in.
Mm.
That means that, like, you do, in fact, need to think about today as though there will be a tomorrow, and you do need to accept the fact that your actions of today will create the world of tomorrow. It's never too late to do something today. History has been changed so many times by the most powerless getting together and finding power together. And that still works, right? Like, you individually don't have power, but you collectively do. People have already had large effects on what's happening. Just people going and protesting in front of Tesla dealerships, right?
Right.
Incredibly impactful protests because there's not that many of them. They identified a weak point, right, that would really bother Elon. And they basically ejected Elon from the government, you know? Like, he's basically left. He's doing a lot less than he was a couple months ago. It all adds up because history is nothing but what we all do collectively. That's what I'm trying to get across to people. And I'm also trying to make them laugh occasionally.
Yeah.
That's the tough balance.
I'm
doing a very good job of continuing to be a stand-up comic in this conversation, of prioritizing that.
This is some awesome, informative conversation. We're going to take a hard left turn to some goofy stuff.
Oh, great. Let's do it.
If we could, we're going to wind the time machine back to 2019. To Adam Ruins Everything. You know, you were great at ruining, quote unquote, as this character, certain topics. But we do have some topics here. Just with a quick speed run, top of your head, seeing if you still got it, how would you ruin this thing as quickly as possible? Amazon one-day shipping.
So every time you click buy on Amazon, you understand that like a timer goes off and they have to run as fast as they can across a windowless warehouse while their bladder is full of pee, right? To grab an item and drop it in a little box. A chain of exploited humans, in fact, have to undergo like almost a series of lab experiments to get the item that you ordered to your doorstep. It's just an edifice built on human misery.
Fair enough. Fishing.
You know, my dad is a marine biologist, and what he's most known for is a finding that the when you know how there are size limits on fish, right? That you can only take the big fish. If you only take the big fish, the overall population of fish gets smaller because that's how evolution works. And my dad proved that experimentally. So
that's so cool.
That's one direct from David O. Conover.
That's incredible. Sorry, now I'm just like, we're on ocean facts?
Yeah.
Like, I was one of those marine biologist kids that I'm like, someone actually did it? That's
sick. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Being a stan of something.
I mean, we're really going to let Eminem define our vocabulary that way?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Ruined. Binge watching.
Ted really thought he came up with a good idea when they came up with binge watching. About House of Cards, people are used to watching things once a week. Oh, what if you can watch it all in one day? Fun idea. People don't want to binge watch anymore, okay? People want to watch one episode a week. You watch an episode, you discuss it with your friends. You watch the next episode, you discuss it with your friends. It gives you an excuse to get together. You do something to talk about around the water cooler. It lets hype for a series build over time. Succession comes out, right? Succession parties.
Sure.
People are watching. They're showing up. They're making Succession-themed cakes, right? Netflix drops a whole season of The Witcher on one day. Next day, and no one's talking about it because they all watch it in one night. It's bad for the industry. It's bad for television. It should be abolished.
Killing spiders.
And what's your favorite way to kill a spider?
Oh my God, I used to throw a cup of water and bleach at them.
Binging is bad. Like, as a form of eating, it's bad.
Sure.
There's no good form of binging. In what world is binging good?
I would agree with you, and
binge
I will never
drinking,
binge spiders.
Binge eating? Okay, spiders. What about spiders?
Oh, I thought this was a hard misdirect, and I was trying to yes and
no,
somehow.
No, I was just continuing on binging. What about spiders?
Killing spiders.
Spiders eat other bugs. Why would you kill a spider? Spiders eat mosquitoes and bugs you don't want in your house. Spiders are harmless to humans. Don't kill spiders.
Okay.
Well, there's black widows, but just leave them alone.
And then showering daily.
You know, I was told by a dermatologist on Adam Ruins Everything that you don't really need to shower daily. That's like a little too often to shower. I do it anyway because I feel like if I wake up and I don't take a shower, I feel like I have a thin skin of like goo covering my body that I need to remove, you know?
100%.
So I shower daily.
Adam, this was an incredible experience. Thank you so much for chatting. How are you feeling?
The last thing I said in the interview was I shower daily. That's, we covered so much ground, but we're going to end it on the note of I shower daily. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been Adam Conover. He showers daily. That's the last moment. Not where I told people to like get out there and work hard to build a better world. You want to end on I shower daily.
You can have the last word on anything.
No, that's what it's going to be. I mean, it's your show.
But you know what? No, pump the brakes. Let's wind it back. Adam, which religion is right?
Oh.
Sorry. And do we want to end it on the showers, Adam?
Baha'i.
Okay.
Yeah.
He struck me as a Zoroastrianism kind of guy.
That's a good pull. Zoroastrianism, that's a good pull.
There you go.
It's the oldest currently practiced religion.
Sumerian?
Now you're pretending like you know, but you don't.
No, it's somewhere out of Mesopotamia. Nebuchadnezzar II was the one that I think pushed it forward the most. So. Yeah.
It was very nice being here.
Now we ended it with me flipping off the camera.
All right.
I don't know if we can do that. But Adam, this is great. I appreciate you.
I had a blast, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Right back at you. Thank you. Real talk and cut this out. I got so many black widows.
Why would they have to cut that out? Are you breeding them on purpose?
I got ideas. I got plans.
Like, it's not, why do they cut out that you have black widows in your...
We got very parasocial fans. If they follow the black widows, they're going to find where I live.
All right. It honestly seemed more suspicious that you wanted to cut it out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.